What happened last night? This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Good morning.
I mean, last night was so good for Marcus Peters' trade value. Oh my goodness. Moved up from like a sixth round pick to maybe, I don't know, like a 3 and a 4. If you want to get really greedy this offseason, a conditional 4, that's pretty good. Oh man. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not a prisoner of the moment in this way. Last night might have been the most fun Chiefs game ever. Beating the Texans in the playoffs was nice because they won a playoff game. So maybe regular season, maybe second most fun Chiefs game like of my lifetime. I was out at Arrowhead watching from the press box, not cheering, mind you. I was very professional. I do think I kind of like yelped though whenever Marcus Peters had his first interception. I think I probably made a noise as if I had just been nipped by a small dog. You know, it's kind of like a. But I mean, unless you hate Marcus Peters, you had to have the most fun time of your life last night, right? Like, this wasn't like the Raiders game last week where it was a Chiefs team getting back on their feet against a bad team that was just, like, diving onto their face. And that game wasn't, like, that wasn't a whole lot of fun last week. The Raiders game wasn't super fun. It was kind of like, oh, wow, that was, holy moly, that was a big brother, little brother backyard football. Last night, the Chiefs have been trending downwards. The Chargers trending upwards. Marcus Peters has been trending polarizing. And last night could not have been more fun. Also, we'll talk about Kareem Hunt. I mean, the two things you talk about first from last night are Marcus Peters and Kareem Hunt. If you wanted to argue about who was more valuable, I guess you can. We have 2 hours with you here today. We're here from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then we'll turn it over to ESPN's NFL coverage, and we've got games all day. And it's a really good NFL Sunday. And we'll keep an eye on all the news and stuff today as we go on as well. But we got 2 hours to talk about Marcus Peters and Kareem Hunt, and then other players and other things as well, I'm sure. But Those are the two guys, the offensive and defensive MVP, if you will. But the story, you can say the MVP of last night's game was Kareem Hunt, and I will not disagree with you. He's the MVP, and he was a good story. But the story from last night is 100% Marcus Peters. Because of the last several weeks. Against the Jets, he throws a penalty flag into the stands. And you know what I think we should do now? I think we should start. You can't start little kids playing football at a young age. Bad for their brain. You don't want a 7-year-old playing tackle football. Like, that's something I think even, you know, the most orcish of us can agree with. Don't let your 6-year-old play tackle football. It's not good for the little brain. It'll turn into oatmeal.
People in Texas do not agree with you, though.
Okay, fine.
Texas is like the one exception.
If you're outside, and you know what, like,
they have a reality TV show that's like 7-year-olds hitting each other, like Friday Night Tykes, I think is what it's called.
That's terrible. So unless you're basically a child beauty pageant dad, don't force your. You're not gonna. Don't make your kid play football at age 6. But here's what we do instead. Go buy like a 12-pack of NFL standard penalty flags and just have your kid just practice flinging them into stands somewhere. Take your kid out to the local high school, have him stand in the end zone, and just 100 a day, just fling those penalty flags into the stands and hope that your child will be the next Marcus Peters. Also, by the way, Rudy Salazar is here today running the board. We haven't done this show, you and I. I mean, I haven't done the show since football season started. So it's good to work with you again, Rudy. I, in case you haven't noticed, am so excited about this show today. Also, if you've wondered where this voice has been, these dulcet tones, I have a show over on ESPN Kansas City now from 4 to 6 p.m. every weekday called Almost Entirely Sports, 1510 a.m., 99.3 FM, and whenever you get your podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, just search Almost Entirely Sports. Anyway, back to the show. Back to your regularly scheduled programming. Marcus Peters last night has a fantastic interception that none of us knew the severity of until Ron Parker explained it to us. We'll hear from Ron Parker in a little bit. But he gets that interception. He forces the fumble, and he did. Ragland, I think, was the main hitter there. But Peters loves going for the strip, and he did it. Then maybe my favorite Marcus Peters play, just because I had so many tweets in my mentions that were just begging for this to happen. Marcus Peters gives up a completion and makes the solo tackle to prevent a first down that holds the Chargers to 4th and 1. And then on the next play, Justin Houston gets some great pressure into the face of Phillip Rivers, and Ron Parker gets the interception. So you can give the assist on that one to Peters also. And then he gets another interception to essentially end the game. And it was just a chef kiss. You know, when you bring all of your fingers together, like to a point, you kiss the tips of your fingers and then kind of shoot them out like a firework. That's a chef kiss. It was a chef kiss game for Marcus Peters last night. And I'm not going to be able to contain my snark today. Welcome to Sports Snark Sunday. Snark Sunday is better than Sports Snark Day. Although Sports Snark Day also isn't bad. Welcome to Sports Snark Day. Also, by the way, Marcus Peters has 4 interceptions now this season. He has a league-leading 18 interceptions since entering the NFL in 2015. Trade him away, please! That cancerous force! And by the way, if you want to eventually argue about, like, was the suspension work or whatever, I said whenever the suspension happened that you cannot judge if the suspension was a good move or not until after the fact. But we're all very eager to have the hot takes. And so waiting 2 weeks was out of the question. We've now waited 2 weeks. Suspension worked out fine because they got by without him against the Raiders, and he just had probably the best game of his career last night. We're good. I think that worked out. And also, Marcus Peters didn't talk last night in the locker room, but he's apparently going to talk sometime this week. So it's somebody in Chiefs PR told us last night. We'll see. I hope he does. I'd love to hear from him. I imagine that he has things to say. But the other thing, though, I tweeted things all last night throughout the game, and I got tweets all throughout the night, and I've come to a particular understanding now, which is that Marcus Peters could cure cancer tomorrow, and there would still be 15 people tweeting me to ask why he hadn't cured cancer sooner. Somebody on Twitter last night, and this was really stupendous form by this guy. After Marcus Peters' pick and 62-yard return, nearly a touchdown, he took that moment to let me know that he thought that Marcus Peters should tuck the football and that he should have scored. Like, what do you want from a man? How is that? Like, listen, could Marcus Peters tuck the football on his interception return? Sure. He did before he ended up meeting contact. Whatever. Fine. He shouldn't have scored. You can never say that a guy should have scored whenever he has to take it 62 yards and eventually into a heap of humanity. And most importantly, how is that the thing you take away? It's because you're always going to find the thing that Marcus Peters did wrong.
The entire time I was watching that, I'm thinking to myself, like, this is what people are going to tweet about.
Yes.
Like, the fact that he held the football
like a hoagie. Oh, awesome. Someone's going to be pissed. And so, the thing that I guess I would ask, like, you know, Chiefs Kingdom, if you will, let last night be the watermark for this. Because Marcus Peters was objectively great last night. He had the tackle, the solo tackle that forced the fourth and one, that forced a pass rush and an interception. Marvin Lewis is planning to leave the Bengals after the season, according to Adam Schefter. This says breaking news. I haven't seen that anywhere else yet, so I think that is actually breaking news.
Of course he wouldn't actually get fired, though. He can't get fired. It's not possible.
No, it's illegal. It's in the Constitution. You can't fire Marvin Lewis. He has to just want to leave. And if my future hinged on Andy Dalton, I would leave too. But for this watermark I want to set, we have to all agree that Marcus Peters was objectively amazing last night. I mean, if he had games like that four times a year, he'd be the best corner in football.
He does have games like that four times a year, but he also sometimes throws a tantrum. So
we were having this conversation about Travis Kelce like a year ago. And yeah, he's actually like the best tight end in football, like top two.
No, he's a baby.
Okay, he's an unbelievably good tight end though. He's
immature. He's so good at his job.
but let last night be the benchmark here, okay? If you heard last night predominantly criticism or discrediting of Marcus Peters from anybody, last night was their last chance to speak about Marcus Peters and to let you care about it. Like, there are enough people on Twitter that I saw last night to bring this rule into place, and I'm making a ruling, and I have a microphone, so you must respect my authority. I am a judge now. If you see anybody who used last night as another to find another way to predominantly criticize or discredit Marcus Peters' performance, you have to stop acknowledging that person's opinions on Marcus Peters. And there might be people that have perfectly fine opinions about other things. But if your takeaway from last night regarding Marcus Peters was he should have scored on his interception, he shouldn't have fallen down on his other interception, and he's got to tuck the football away, if those were your top three takeaways from Marcus Peters' night last night, you lose your right to talk about Marcus Peters ever again. You just have to. And listen, those people are always going to talk about Marcus Peters, especially whenever he doesn't hit like Derek Johnson, or God forbid he gives up two completions in a game as opposed to the one for, I think, 7 yards last night. They're always going to show up. So it's not on them to stop talking about Marcus Peters, because they're never going to stop. It's up to you to stop listening to them. In fact, you know what we should do? We should start a thing. You should start on Twitter. Whenever someone does tweet like, oh, Marcus Peters should have tucked the ball away. He should have scored. Just what an easy interception that was. Then you should just tweet at that particular Twitter egg just with la 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 la, I can't hear you. Like the height of immaturity. Isn't there like a, I don't know, there's some gif that I am vaguely seeing in my head that I can't figure out what it's actually from. Of like a la 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 la, I can't hear you kind of thing. Send that GIF and then use the rest of your 280 characters and use the whole 280 to just la 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 la. I can't hear you. And eventually that person will get so tired of seeing that in their mentions, they'll either block everyone or stop tweeting about Marcus Peters, which is the goal. And he's not beyond criticism. I thought it was fine to be critical of him last week. It's also fine to acknowledge the duality of what he is. But there was nothing last night that was reasonable to criticize that would rise to the top of the list of takeaways from his game. And this, I listen, I know that this is going to make somebody mad. So I say this, for some people, not for every person, and not for every criticism of Marcus Peters, and maybe not for you, the person listening right now, but for some people, because of the national anthem thing, he's never going to get just praise. And he will constantly get unjust criticism. Not from everybody. And again, not every criticism is unfair. I've found plenty of times it's fair to be critical of Marcus Peters. But there is that delegation that will never give him the praise he deserves whenever he earns it, and will always be there to give him the criticism as soon as a crack in the armor shows up. And that's just how it is. And I'm sure he knows that. And I'm also guessing that, you know, plays into why he just would presume to not talk to the media and not deal with Twitter. I wouldn't want to either. I'm assuming that is an exhausting existence. Also, I realized in the first quarter that the best thing about Peters being suspended last week was that I didn't have to see any tweets throughout the whole game about how Marcus Peters can't tackle. Also, I can't believe I haven't brought that up recently also. If that is one of your main takeaways from last night, first of all, you would sound extremely foolish. Because again, the one time he was left one-on-one with his receiver, he made the tackle. He's not especially eager to go be the third guy throwing his shoulder into a play. That's true and fair. But whenever it is up to him, he makes the play. It's just, some of it is bizarre. And I, for one, had a tremendous time last night. All right, I've been teasing this audio clip for like 12 hours now. So whenever we come back, I want you to hear what Ron Parker said about Marcus Peters. He broke down the first interception that Peters had, and I was standing there listening to Ron Parker talk, and it's going like, oh wow, this, I wonder how much we don't know about things like this, because Ron Parker explained something about a thing that Marcus Peters does that I think will really impress you, unless you blindly hate Marcus Peters.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
Bleep my boss.
On Sports Radio 810.
Bleep my dad.
WHB.
Welcome back into Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB. I almost said ESPN Kansas City. Why did you almost say, what is ESPN Kansas City? Oh, you inquisitive listener. Thank you for asking. ESPN Kansas City is currently like I don't know, 5 feet behind me. Charlie and Rudy are both here, and they are drinking. I don't know what's in their styrofoam cups. Charlie is drinking out of two styrofoam cups stacked on top of each other like he's 21 Savage, which is a joke that Charlie, there's no way Charlie gets. Charlie just looked at him and started shaking his head because Charlie is a 45-year-old man in a 35-year-old man's body. Yeah. Charlie's actually 20 something, I think, but that was, it was a very easy joke to make. Anyway, ESPN Kansas City is like, it's like 5 feet behind me currently. Sister station of Sports Radio 810. A lot, there's football games over there a lot. Sometimes the KU sports that aren't men's basketball end up over there, Hawk Talk, all sorts of stuff. And also, most importantly, almost entirely sports with me from 4 to 6 every weekday. And if you've got other things going on at the time, the podcast, the whole show, in hours, you can just join the show whenever you feel like. It's the 21st century. I respect your ability to listen whenever you feel like. Also, no commercials on the podcast. But you can just search almost entirely sports wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Charlie, put the cups down. So I've been saying this since I heard him talking last night. I've been saying that the things that Ron Parker said in the locker room last night about Marcus Peters are fascinating. He was asked, I mean, he talked about the defense overall some, and he was then asked what kind of unfolded on Marcus Peters' first interception. One more precursor. I don't love, like, playing a lot of player interview audio and playing a lot of, like, Andy Reid post-game stuff and Alex Smith post-game stuff. I like both of those people. I like most of the, I mean, I don't have any reason to not like literally, like, anybody on the team. But it's usually just not, it's not super interesting usually. Usually just like, so what was out there today? Like, oh, well, we made some plays, we forced some turnovers, you know, playing as a team, whatever. And it just kind of all, it all starts to sound the same after a while. So I say that to give this clip a little more weight, because whenever I heard Ron Parker explain this last night, I was like, I was slack-jawed. I just had drool just pouring out of my mouth as I was learning so aggressively, just being force-fed defense information. It's not super complicated. I just thought it was really interesting. So when are you going to play the sound and start talking about the sound? Fair point. That's a fair question for you to ask. So let's hear Ron Parker. This is Ron Parker talking about Marcus Peters and what he saw on Marcus Peters' first interception.
I was in coverage and my man busted like a seven route, and I thought Phillip was gonna throw to my man Marcus. Come to find out, Marcus was hanging on my route too. So he went hanging on my route and he played his route at the same time. He did a great job of just, the kid is smart, man. He knows the game, and I sat and watched the ball go in the air, and I knew Marcus was going to be there. So he did a good job of finding the ball and making the play that he always make.
He was covering two guys.
So basically, he was covering for me and him. Like, and they working hand in hand. Early in the game, I covered for him. Like, it just worked back and forth.
That's not the first time he's made an interception on somebody else's guy, right?
Marcus, that's what he do. His IQ of the game is just, it's through the roof. He's young, but his IQ for football and just knowing how our teams try to attack us is through the roof. And he does a good job of just knowing his opponents.
What was this week like for him, you think?
It was a good week for him, man. He came back and he just came back to work. Came into practice every day, worked hard. He didn't do nothing. Like, just, he just been Marcus. Like, he came back and been himself. And that's what we was looking forward to, for him to just come back and be himself. We don't want nothing to change. Like, he was gone for a couple of days, but we don't want him to think nothing different. We just want him to come back and be him.
Andy says he plays like every play is going to be his last play. You kind of sense that when you're out there with him?
Oh, yeah. That's how he plays. I mean, you can see when the running backs come over there, he's trying to stick his hand in and strip the ball out. If it's a pass being thrown over there, he's definitely trying to pick it off. So he's definitely a ball hawk, man. He plays every play against his best.
Did you see that play where that Gordon tried to leap him and Marcus kind of caught it? I mean,
yeah, Gordon tried to leap him in, and Marcus tried to catch him. He really was trying to stick his hand in and grab the ball out at the same time. I didn't think Gordon know what he was trying to do, but I think the next time you catch Gordon in that position, I think he might be able to get that ball out.
Ron, I know he plays hard all the time, but did you sense that there was, like, a little bit extra for him this week coming off the suspension?
I mean, any guy who's been suspended for a week off of any 32 teams in the NFL, you'd think when they come back, they come back with some kind of ego or some kind of something on their chest that they feel like they have to get off. So I think he did a good job of just coming back and just staying down, man, just being himself and coming to work hard and just trying to – He knew what he had to do. Basically, he knew he had to come in and play a good game, and he did that.
The ability to keep an eye on a couple of routes at a time for a young corner like that, how rare is that?
It's really rare. But it's not a lot of corners in this league that's smart like Marcus and have the IQ to really know what's going on. So I take my hat off to him just knowing what's going on around, just knowing what's going on around him and on the field.
Do you have a theory? I know it's probably off, but do you have a theory on whether that's just innate intelligence on his part, or is that
it's intelligence, man, and it's film, and it's us just being together every day, off the field, working together. Like, we be together all the time off the field, we're not at work, and we talk about football so much. It shows up on the game days. Like, I can feel when he's going to be there, even if I'm not going to be there. It's vice versa. It working hand in hand. So we all work out for each other, man, in the secondary. Like, we look out for each other. We try to help each other.
Isn't that super interesting? I can't be alone in that. Like, Marcus Peters is spending most of his time in coverage, like, covering one guy with his body and covering a second guy with his eyes. Like, he's staying with his guy, keeping an eye on somebody else's route. Also watching the quarterback. So he goes and makes a play on somebody else's receiver. And the other thing that I think is a hugely unfair criticism that Ron Parker shuts down with what he said about Marcus Peters, he's a really smart football player. Was it smart to throw a penalty flag into the stands? No. No, it wasn't his best moment. No, fine. But there's this, and there's a lot of narratives. There's just capital N narratives, just like, because it's its own noun at this point. You know, it's its own living. The narrative is alive. It deserves to be given a proper noun treatment. There are a lot of narratives. But the idea that Marcus Peters is this guy out there is just playing on, like, raw skill and athleticism and emotion is patently absurd. Like, it's bonkers. It's a silly thing to believe. It's a silly narrative to allow to go on. Like, we're going to hear from Darrell Revis in a second. Revis is still in the league, not because his physical tools are what they were 10 years ago, because they're not. But he's still in the league. And Seth Kaiser, we've had on Almost Entirely Sports a bunch. I think we've had him on Sports Sunday over here a few times. He's been on Between the Lines with Kevin a couple times. He writes for Arrowhead Pride. He's real MN Chiefs fan on Twitter. He's great. Anyway, infomercial aside, I talked to him, and he did a film review on Darrell Revis against the Raiders. And he said, oh, I see it now. Well, we didn't really see it against the Jets, but I see it now. I see the Darrell Revis that can still play, what, 10, 12 years into his NFL career? Because he's always in the pocket of his receiver. He's always seeing everything. He knows what receivers are going to do as they're doing it. He doesn't have the closing speed that he used to have, but he knows where to be. His eyes are perfect. Marcus Peters is going to be playing football 10 years from now. Peters is going to last, and I don't know, 10 years is a long time for any football player to be playing, Marcus Peters, I can say this definitively, I believe this. Marcus Peters is going to be playing football for longer than his physical tools will carry him, because his, like, cornerback intellect is off the charts. So he's extremely physically talented, and he has great instincts. But what you heard from Ron Parker is, hey, stop discounting how smart this guy is and how well he understands everything going on around him. Do you know how hard it is to cover one receiver at a time in the NFL? You do know, because you've seen, you know, like Philip Gaines try to. It's a really hard job. Because the receiver knows where he's supposed to be going, and the quarterback knows where the receiver is going, and you just have to be
faster or smarter. It's really hard. Marcus Peters is as physically talented as all these receivers around him, and he's in the right place always, and he's reading the quarterback always. And I don't want people to underappreciate Marcus Peters. Because I don't remember if I gave this stat earlier, but people are coming in and out of the show. So if I did, I'm sorry. Here it is again for a new audience, or for a second time, just to remind you of how bonkers this is. He has 18 interceptions since he entered the NFL in 2015, which is leading the league in that time. Nobody in football is intercepting quarterbacks at the rate that Marcus Peters is since he's been in the NFL. And he's not slowing down. If anything, I imagine the game keeps slowing down to him. I mean, it's not, this is not an exaggeration. I thought this and I went, do I want to even say this? And I don't know, I don't want to seem like I'm now diving into hyperbole, because I'd rather just go with the obvious with Marcus Peters, because some people need a Marcus Peters obvious things refresher course. But I can say this and actually mean it. If Marcus Peters does play for 10 years and beyond his physical tools, because he is so good at playing cornerback, and he does that for another 10 years, that's a Hall of Fame cornerback. I mean, it just is. Like, that's not even, it's not arguable. And now, listen, does the pace keep up? I don't know. That's why it's kind of hyperbolic, and I don't want to plant my flag on that hill to say, oh, he's a Hall of Famer right now. He's not. But if you lead the league in interceptions for 10 or 12 years, that's gonna do it. It's going to get it done. And at the very least, Chiefs fans should be fighting for Marcus Peters to be in that conversation of best cornerbacks in football, not discussing his trade value. Speaking of Darrelle Revis, he also talked last night, and he talked about the defense overall, but I thought that he said some really smart things about Marcus Peters, because again, this is a guy that you look at and go, oh, well, this is one of the best corners you've ever seen. And now he's in Kansas City, revitalizing his career, trying to get a contract again for next year. He's looked really good in these last couple of weeks. And he talked about what he thinks makes Marcus Peters a special player.
You've played with a lot of corners and around a lot of corners. What do you appreciate about Marcus Peters and
what
type of player?
His love for the game, I'll say. He's very passionate. He has a chip on his shoulder, and that's how he plays his game. And you know, for him to make big plays for us, it was great. It was great. You know, especially him coming back from the suspension, and you know, him really contributing to this win is big. He's one of our best players.
He's a new teammate for you. But
yes.
What kind of teammate is he, and what's it mean when he can kind of harness his passion into a on-field performance like this?
Oh, it's pretty awesome. You know, he's the same way every day. He's not up and down. He's a very energetic guy, and he has a chip on his shoulder. I mean, that's just how he goes about, you know, his everyday life. And today, you've seen him, you know, playing in today's game. I mean, Phillip tried him a few times, and he responded by making some great plays in the passing game, and then also, you know, with the fumble. You know, he knocked the ball out, which was really key late in the game for us. So I just say he's just had a chip on his shoulder. It's good, man. It's good for him to respond after being suspended.
Oh, man, there's a lot of things in there that really hurt your narrative. I don't want to make this about you. A lot of things in there that hurt the narrative, capital T, capital N, because it's its own living, breathing thing now. The narrative is really struggling. I thought Marcus Peters didn't love football. I thought he was just a guy out here who was letting his physical tools carry him. He's going to cash a couple of checks and then go disappear in Oakland. We'll never hear from him again. It's one of the first things that Darrell Rivas said after spending, what now, like 2 or 3 weeks with Marcus Peters. That's apparent to him. Cool. It's a big blow to the narrative, but Rivas said it, not me. Also, this has surprised me. Maybe this is my narrative. Rivas said that Marcus Peters is the same every day. So he's not an up and down dude. That surprised me. I didn't expect him to say that. Does not compute. Narrative short circuiting. Gasp. And then the dying breath of the narrative seeps out into this guy. Now listen, he'll end up with the penalty, you know, in the blowout against the Dolphins next week. And oh, the narrative will be, somebody will be doing CPR on that narrative, doing, you know, you do CPR to the beat of Stayin' Alive, which is ironic, but that's like, that's the beat you're supposed to do, I guess, to, you know, keep a heart pumping or whatever. Somebody will be over that corpse of the narrative, Stayin' Alive. Just pumping it. And we'll end up back here over and over again.
I got to give Marcus Peters a lot of credit, though, because like, if that was me when I got that first pick, that ball is getting punted into the crowd so far. Like, I am sending that ball as far as I can. So, like, he's more mature than me at the very least.
Yeah, that's a great point. He definitely could have, if he would have scored. Oh,
definitely if I score, that thing is. I am kicking a ball harder than I've never kicked a ball before.
if he scores, it is getting chucked into the upper deck 100%. And then Butker would still, you know, have the kickoff go to like the 5, and it would be a meaningless penalty. But, oh man, Twitter would be mad. So I'm glad he didn't. And this is something where if I was in Marcus Peters' shoes, I would now be on my, like, best behavior, not because I'm afraid of you, but because I would be eager to get everybody to just please shut up. That would be my move. That would be my personal motivation. Like, I wouldn't really care if you, like, you know, enjoyed my on-field demeanor or not. But I would be really eager to get everybody to stop trying to psychologically evaluate me from behind a keyboard, you know? I didn't really mean to spend the first 45 minutes of this show talking about Marcus Peters. It also doesn't shock me that's what happened, just because it was such a statement game, you know? What are you looking at me like that for, Charlie? Charlie's staring at me judgmentally.
We all know you did. You intended on talking about
it. I didn't! I didn't! You know what? The first name on my Google Doc sheet for today is actually Kareem Hunt. I shouldn't have had Kareem Hunt's name first on my rundown sheet because, again, as I mentioned at the beginning, he might have been the MVP of the game last night, but he wasn't the story. And so, yeah, I mean, spending 45 minutes on the main story from last night, totally reasonable. I enjoyed it so much because I love whenever and listen, eventually there's going to be a player that makes me eat crow. Alex Smith tried to do it for 5 weeks. Which, by the way, like, still played into my overall point, so I'm good still. But eventually there's going to be a player that makes me eat crow, but I love whenever a player responds to just 2 weeks of just getting nuked with the best game of their life. I just find such joy in that. But he's gonna miss a tackle next week, and we're gonna regress so far. But we shouldn't. Again, this is the thing where I think yesterday can be good for the Chiefs fan base overall. We have to agree on this. If your local Twitter egg was snuck into those keys last night actively criticizing or discounting Marcus Peters instead of praising his tremendous game, then you just stop caring about what that person says about Marcus Peters. That's all. That solves our problem. Like, this also goes, if you're sick of LeVar Ball, well, stop caring about what he says. Just shoot. LeVar Ball only exists because we listen. Your neighbor that hates Marcus Peters doesn't have to be heard by you. I'm trying to come up with a third example of irrational hatred, but they're all politically based, and I don't really want to have that fight this morning. I feel like I've done enough just talking about Marcus Peters to stoke the fires. So we'll steer clear of that. Also, did you hear what happened if I tried to say the phrase steer clear just then? Like, I hit a wall. It's because as I was trying to say steer clear, there was a logo on the screen in front of me on ESPN, and it was a Steelers logo. It is so hard to say the phrase steer clear while looking at the word Steeler. It's just like, it's like one of those, did you ever have one of those posters, Rudy, that was like, that like had names of colors, but the names of the colors were in different colors?
I didn't have that, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Though, yeah.
Well, yeah. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, there were these posters, and I'm sure they exist still somewhere, but it would just be like a full poster of, I don't know, maybe like 60 colors and words, not all different ones, but just, you know, rotating through, and it would say like pink, blue, green, yellow, but they would be in like yellow, purple, orange, white. And it would be like that through this whole poster. And I guess the challenge was to, like, go through it and say the name of the color that the color was, not the word that was there. And it was very difficult. I haven't experienced that same feeling of, why is this so damn hard? Up until this moment, when I just tried to say the phrase steer clear while looking at the word Steeler. And my brain just, like, I felt like a little short-circuiting. Just kind of a bzzz.
Oh, isn't that normal? You feel your own brain short-circuiting?
Funny. If I can make the joke before you do, it's not an insult anymore. I'm a step ahead. Steer clear. Because he nailed it. As if I'm not looking at the word, it's hard. Don't tell me to break, Rudy. Rudy, don't tell me when to break. I know when we need to break. I know how these clocks work. I know how our commercial breaks work. Don't tell me we need to break. We're going to take a break.
This is Sports Sunday.
I gain energy by talking.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I'm a plant in that way. My photosynthesis isn't with sunlight. It's with attention. I am bacterial.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming out of my cage.
Sorry if I seem distracted. I was just trying to figure out if I need to buy a swimsuit for whenever I go to Arizona at the end of the month. Man, it is miserable out today, too. I heard rain hitting my window when I woke up this morning, and I just, like, shivered. Not out of cold, out of just, like, fear. It's like, oh, it's raining in December. Like, at least give us some flurries and make it fun outside. We just have a tiny bit of time left in this hour, so we're just gonna make this the Marcus Peters hour. And then we're talking about Kareem Hunt and the offense and stuff next hour. But Miles tweeted me and said, "Dang, Briscoe, did Marcus send some guys to threaten you this week? You sound like a guy who was waiting for a reason to praise MP." He just had the best game of his life after a month of being criticized for everything! It's justified! Why am I yelling? Sorry. Sorry, I just got a little heated there. This might be the best thing about doing the Sunday morning show here, is that there's no one else in this building, so I don't have to worry about like disrupting anybody other than you guys. Because usually I try to be aware of the fact that there's, you know, one pane of glass separating two shows broadcasting live at the same time. Not today, though! I'm just very excited! I enjoyed the game last night very much! And Marcus Peters is a good football player, dang it! I might need a sub next segment. I don't know if I can do this. I think I just blew out a vocal cord. Next segment, we'll talk about the Chiefs offense. That's next.
Yeah, we're skipping church too. This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Somebody tweeted in, I feel like I'm in the building, under your desk, afraid for my life. If you're just joining us, if you missed the end of the first hour, I was screaming a lot. I was taking advantage of the fact that on a Sunday morning, this building is empty. Well, on this Sunday morning, not usually on Sunday mornings, because there's usually Chiefs games. But this particular Sunday morning, there are a total of 3 people in the building, counting myself, which is me, Rudy, and Charlie. So I can scream if I feel the need to, which has been great. We talked about Marcus Peters for the majority of the first hour. Really, the first hour was about my feelings on Marcus Peters and my inability to say the phrase steer clear while looking at the word Steelers. That was hour one. You go, oh man, I missed that. Or I want to listen to that again. How can I do that? We'll podcast it later. You go to 810WHB.com. And go to additional programming, and the podcast will be there, you know, whenever I can get it posted. But I want to, one other news thing, and then I want to talk about Kareem Hunt and the Chiefs offense and where the Chiefs go from here, because it's good. It's good. The Chiefs are back? Question mark? But Rudy and I have been talking during commercial breaks about the hilarity of Marvin Lewis and the Bengals, quote unquote, parting ways, because we were both under the impression that this was a appointed position like the Supreme Court, where you just get the job and then you stay in that role until you die. That's kind of what we expected Marvin Lewis to be doing.
Yeah, like I don't know about you, like I don't know when you started watching, like say NFL, but for me, it was about 2001, 2002. So Literally my entire like NFL watching career, Marvin Lewis has been the coach. Marvin Lewis has never not been the coach of the Bengals for me.
Yes.
So this is weird. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Are the Bengals like being folded? Are they shutting down? Are they moving?
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm almost wondering if they're like, the Bengals will no longer exist now.
You know, the most Bengally thing they could do would be for Andy Dalton to retire and to immediately become the coach. Andy Dalton being the head coach of the Bengals
feels perfect. Player coach.
That seems too progressive. I don't think the Bengals have that in them.
Do you see Josh McCown's player coaching this weekend?
Is he really?
Yeah, like he's on IR, though, so it's a little bit, it's not like he's playing.
But is he really like wearing a headset?
They said he's going to be like the quarterback coach, essentially.
Huh.
Ironically, I guess the Browns tried hiring him to be the quarterback coach before the season started. But
really?
The Jets like gave him a job to play, and he's like, yeah, let's do this.
Interesting. But so here's an amazing thing Pro Football Talk just tweeted out. Being a GM, something Marvin Lewis, quote, would listen to. Is someone going to offer Marvin Lewis a general manager job?
He hires Jeff Fisher, right? I'm like, please, I need a Marvin Lewis, Jeff Fisher. The NFL needs Jeff Fisher. Like, we need Jeff Fisher back.
No, that's true. There aren't nearly, with McAdoo gone, there aren't nearly enough mustaches in the league anymore. Are there any, Andy Reid? Is Andy Reid the last mustache? The last of the
I think so, yeah.
Sorry, Rudy, please get out of my way. I'm trying to make a good Last of the Mohicans, Last of the Mustaches joke. It's real. I'll just work it out on air here. Last of the mustaching. Last of the mustaches. The what? Last of the that's good. Last of the Mustachians. Did you say that on air or just in my headset?
In your headset.
Because you were afraid it wasn't going to land.
I was letting you do your thing.
That's good producing right there, to just say in my headset, Mustachians. Oh, Last of the Mustachians. Nailed it. Also, I always forget that Wade Phillips is the coach, is the defensive coordinator for the Rams, and that is another thing that makes me exceedingly happy. I love that Wade Phillips is in the league. But you're right, we need Jeff Fisher back.
I can't properly celebrate August 8th without Jeff Fisher.
It's the worst. No, you're 100% right.
And July 9th. That's another solid Jeff Fisher day.
Did you know that, oh man, I can't remember who the third one was. Was it Nick? I think it's Nick Foles now. I think this week, Jeff Fisher's LA Rams team from last year has three quarterbacks starting this week in Jared Goff, I think Nick Foles, and
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum, thank you. That team was bad last year, and they added like two players. I didn't really mean for this segment to be about the Rams and mustaches and stuff and Marvin Lewis. This show became about the Rams and the Bengals for a solid like five count there.
It's happening. Marvin Lewis GMing the Giants with Jeff Fisher running that team.
Can you imagine? Man, I know that like 2 weeks ago, you know, the same people that wanted Marcus Peters traded also wanted like Andy Reid fired and Bob Sutton like literally killed, and they wanted the house cleaned. So I know that we move quickly, and I also know that we in Kansas City aren't currently properly appreciative of what we have in the coaching realm. Can you imagine being the fan of a team that is cleaning house, fires their GM, is going to rebuild, and then hires Marvin Lewis to be your general manager? I can't imagine a sadder existence.
Somebody's going to, though. Like, Marvin Lewis.
No, you're right.
Be a GM in this league. If he's not a GM, he's head coaching somebody.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not done. There's no way. But also the idea of a head coach being parted ways with and then moving up in the hierarchy, pretty bonkers. Nate has tweeted in. By the way, grab your drink, Rudy. You can always tweet me at JB Briscoe. There's no E at the end of my name. It's JBBRISCO. I point that out because my press pass from last night had an E at the end of
it.
A
serious question. If the Chiefs think your last name ends with an E, don't you have to like legally change it now to an E?
I just now, it's being a Briscoe with an E is such like an aesthetic insult to me because I've been so conditioned to the non-E life. That I don't think I could make that happen. It would require like a lot of money for me to do that.
I like the idea of them like not letting you in, like you're showing your license. Like, no, yes. See, Briscoe, but there's no E at the end.
I'm gonna have to like get a Sharpie and add an E to my driver's license. So you can always tweet me at JB Briscoe. I mean, listen, does my self-worth and livelihood hinge on my number of Twitter followers? Yes, it does. Thank you for tooting my horn for me. You know, yes, I do thrive on seeing people follow me on Twitter. But also, you know, if you want to, like, say something, you can do it there. Nate said, I agree with everything you said on Peters. Game of his life deserves to be talked about. Hopefully it's not just a one-week thing. Could be a dangerous team in the postseason if he continues this play, which is all on point, especially the part where he agrees with me. Really love that part. And he also said people still want Sutton fired. I think we're good. I think the last 2 weeks have been good for the fire Bob Sutton crowd. I sarcastically tweeted, like, give Bob Sutton an extension! Because that's next. And I still have my worries about Bob Sutton. But the defense these last couple of weeks has been substantially different. It has been aggressive, and it has been unique in a way that it simply wasn't at any point through this year, even in the winning streak. There were lots of times, if you just keep an eye on what's going on. And if you want to rewatch the game, and just pause it every once in a while before the snap. There are times when you'll see Chris Jones lined up over the center. And Justin Houston at like a wide nine, like outside of the tackle. There are lots of things that Bob Sutton is doing differently. We saw two or three secondary blitzes. One of them worked at the beginning of the game. I was starting to get worried about the defense, and Eric Murray got a sack of Phillip Rivers. And it was a momentum stopper. So, Bob Sutton has been more aggressive in these last 2 weeks, and the defense has been doing more things. Justin Houston's been used to actually rush the quarterback. Chris Jones has been a dominating force these last couple of weeks. Chris Jones also was the place where I was most wrong from the preseason. I thought he was going to be an unstoppable force in his second season. And it took him, 13 weeks? And these last couple of weeks are what I expected from this whole season. He's been outstanding. We might play his post-game audio later because he's always fun to talk to. He was in a bright red suit jacket. He said it was like the Christmas spirit and Chiefs red and everything. It's good. I like Chris Jones. But he also, the first thing he talked about was, stop the run. We get out there and we stop the run and then we do our other stuff. And I think the Chiefs have been, the stat before this game, I believe, was that the Chiefs were fifth in the NFL in rush defense since week 9, which is shocking because they were so bad through those first 9 weeks or 8 weeks. And that has been fixed a couple of times. The Chiefs secondary is not good at tackling in general. Daniel Sorensen missed three or four tackles last night.
Also prevented Peters from having the hat trick of interceptions.
You're right. Yeah, he broke up an interception.
I mean, great pass breaker, but that's your guy. Just let him take it.
I mean, really, there's a chance there could have been a 5-interception game from last night if Travis Kelce would have been more selfish and caught that Hail Mary at the end
he
of the first half.
He takes that to the house. There's no way you keep him out.
Man, a 100-yard punt return by your tight end or 100-yard interception return by your tight end would be pretty sweet. But he would have caught it and then fumbled it and the Chargers would have scored a touchdown and then someone would have tried to trade Travis Kelce for a 5th-round pick. Because that's how it works here. You play our way or we trade you to Marvin Lewis, damn it. Not the Bengals, just wherever Marvin Lewis is.
You also threaten the Browns. We'll send you to Cleveland.
Oh, you have to.
We'll do it.
You have to. Yeah, that is threatening to take your kid's favorite toy.
That's why they let Cleveland come back to the NFL. So teams could threaten their players to keep them in line with Cleveland.
Right. It's and everyone's, oh man. You know what I just saw? I kid you not. That the moment you said that on NFL Network, Kevin Hogan throwing a pass. The moment you said that, It was a shot from behind Kevin Hogan, just heaving one. Former Chiefs draft pick Kevin Hogan. Tremendous. But so Chris Jones taking that next step these last couple of weeks has been huge. The pass rush being good again has been huge. This defense, by the way, thrives on turnovers. I don't think this defense has been that much different between this season and last, except for last season, they got a bunch of turnovers. These last 2 weeks, they've gotten a bunch of turnovers. That is where this defense thrives, and they weren't getting turnovers for a good long portion of this season. So that's where a bad defense looks like a good defense, or where an average defense looks like a terrible defense. It depends on if you're getting those turnovers, and it's really hard to do that consistently. It gets way easier to force turnovers whenever you're getting pressure on the quarterback. By the way, I know that a lot of people just think Phillip Rivers is toast. He has, I should have grabbed this stat and I didn't. This is on me. But I think the stat was that he has 10 interceptions this year and 6 of them against the Chiefs. If you're just watching Phillip Rivers against the Chiefs, you're right. You would see a washed quarterback. But the Chiefs were... But he hasn't been bad this season overall. Anyway, I digress. every quarterback looks like Andy Dalton whenever there's pressure in his face. And it's one thing last night that that the Chiefs did really well. The offensive line last night was stupendous. This is from Pro Football Focus. Alex Smith was only pressured on 7 drops last night. And on those 7 drops, he had a 57.4 quarterback rating. When kept clean, he had a 131.5 rating. That is an insane swing. And it's not just because it's harder to throw whenever you're pressured, which is obviously true. But Alex Smith, we've talked about this a lot this season. Alex Smith, whenever he feels like there's pressure coming frequently, his feet get happy. His eyes drop down. He misses open receivers because he's looking to the checkdowns because he doesn't want to, you know, get blindsided. I don't blame him for that. That's just something that he struggles with, is keeping his eyes up and maintaining his pocket presence whenever the offensive line isn't having a particularly good day. It's something that he got from the first 5 weeks. The two best examples of this were the Patriots game in week one this week and the Colts playoff game whenever Alex Smith looked like Tom Brady and was keeping pace with an unstoppable Colts offense because they're going into the Chiefs defense with, like, Nile Davis and, like, Donnie Avery, I think. Like, I genuinely think that Nile Davis and Donnie Avery were... No. Didn't Nile Davis get hurt partway through that game also?
I know Jamal got a concussion. We have Jason Avant on that team too?
Yeah,
I feel like we had Jason Avant on that team.
They definitely had Jason Avant.
Because like he was that wily veteran who knew Reed's offense, and he was gonna make some big catches.
I can't believe it. I also did not mean to relive this game today. I just want to know what he did. I'm on the 2013 NFL playoffs page of ESPN.com, and it is. You might not believe this, is stunningly not super intuitive. But we're getting close. I'm going to hum the Jeopardy music.
Yeah, Avery had one catch for 79 yards and a touchdown.
Oh, my goodness. Dwayne Bowe had 150, but it was Dwayne Bowe, Donnie Avery, Dexter McCluster, Nile Davis, Junior Hemingway, A.J. Jenkins. And it was mostly Nile Davis, and then Cyrus Gray had a couple of carries in there also. Cyrus Gray was the other name I couldn't think of. I'm sorry for making you relive that game. Also, Andrew Luck threw 3 interceptions, and they scored 45 points. How does that happen?
I knew the Chiefs were losing. Like, do you remember? I don't remember who the running back was, but like, let's see who was their main
Donald
running back.
Donald Brown?
That year. It was probably Donald Brown.
Yeah,
give Donald Brown the ball on the 1 yard line. I think it's Justin Houston forces a fumble,
oh, God,
and the
yes.
ball just bounces perfectly into Andrew Luck's lap. And I'm just like, at that moment, I knew, yeah, this is done. The gods are conspiring against us. We're not allowed to win this game.
Trent Richardson had 1 carry for 0 yards in that game, just in case you're wondering. Sorry for taking you back there. Anyway, they put up Charlie just walked in and just started glaring at me. I'm sorry. My point – go ahead.
See, like, all the happiness from last night's game
No, it's over. It's in the past.
Right,
no, it's gone. It's in the past. My point was, Alex Smith put up 44 points in that game with Nile Davis and Dwayne Bowe and Donnie Avery. As he did in the Patriots game week one this year, he had a tremendous offensive line performance. He had a very, very good offensive line performance last night also. And whenever he's only pressured in small doses, he'll check it down, he'll take a sack, he'll throw an incompletion, whatever. But the concern isn't just in those individual plays, but in his overall demeanor. And he had really good protection last night, which makes him a good quarterback. Last night was a pretty baseline Alex Smith game. The throw to Tyreek Hill was perfect. And everything else, he had a couple of off-target short ones that weren't great. He made a couple of nice throws, a couple of scrambles. The fourth down conversion was great. It was a very short, conservative throw that I think a ton of quarterbacks should have made. But that's what Alex Smith does. I'm not here to criticize Alex Smith from last night. But, you know, he threw for 230 yards. And a couple touchdowns. It's a pretty Alex Smithy game. It's fine. It's good. The game was great. But it's just a pretty quintessential Alex Smith game. Also, the Chiefs could have beaten anybody last night because they forced the fumble. They pick off Rivers three times, and a guy that we should have talked about sooner. And we're going to talk about this dude this whole week. Kareem Hunt is going to win the Rookie of the Year, and he's going to do it convincingly because having a lull in the middle of the season isn't going to matter because everybody's going to remember those first 5 weeks, and everyone's going to remember these last four. Last night, Kareem Hunt takes 24 carries for 155 yards and a touchdown. That was just on the ground. He was also the team's second leading receiver, led the team in receptions with seven, 51 yards, which was more than everyone on the team except for Tyreek Hill. 200 all-purpose yards for Kareem Hunt. He was a machine. There were times, so obviously, in the press box, you know, there was like no cheering, and you know, no one in the press box cheered because Kansas City has good media people. But there are times whenever there are reactions because, you know, actual human beings are in the press box, myself included, may have audibly reacted to a couple of things. But there was a hit by Kevin Pierre-Louis that I recognized. Everybody's kind of going, oof, kind of all at once. And there were times whenever Kareem Hunt would be just shedding tacklers when, like, as the play was going, someone would mutter, like, good God, like, this is what? Just mutterings by people who have seen a lot of football. Because Kareem Hunt moves with that kind of like, unstoppable power. Even though he doesn't look like, you know, Thomas Jones. And there's a stat that I saw last night that sure feels prescriptive. It's hard. It's worth being careful to try to draw the line between descriptive and prescriptive things. Things that are, you know, just stats of things that happen and then things that indicate what's going to happen next. And if there's, you know, a correlation and everything. But the stat is that the Chiefs, during their 5-0 start, average 156 rushing yards per game. The Chiefs, during their 1-3 stretch, averaged 81.4 rushing yards per game. Last two games, 165 versus the Raiders and 174 versus the Chargers. That sure sounds like a correlation. And I feel really good about this offense. Whenever Alex Smith is being protected. By the way, without Mitch Morse this week, and for the rest of the season, he's been put on injured reserve, which I'm guessing you've probably heard by now. Breaking news from like 3 days ago. But Zach Fulton had a very good game at center, and Brian Witzman had a very good game at left guard. And I say those two things confidently because I never heard the name Witzman or Fulton at like any point during the game yesterday, which is a rare feat for offensive linemen. Mitchell Schwartz was great. Eric Fisher had a couple of bad plays. But like the offense as a whole, again, let up pressure seven times on, I think, 30 dropbacks. That's something that I can live with. All right, we got a couple of calls. We're going to take a break really quick. But if you would like to talk about whatever's going on with the Chiefs, it can be Marcus Peters, Kareem Hunt, Alex Smith, the offensive line. Literally anything. I am prepared, I think. Prove me wrong. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. 913-3810-810. Matt and Tommy Moe, we'll get to you guys whenever we come back. You're listening to Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday.
People are about to destroy you on Twitter.
I know, I'm ready for it. Oh, but if you want to destroy me on Twitter, it's at JB Briscoe.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Follow me, then destroy me.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Joshua Briscoe. If you want to hear more of this deep, gravelly voice, or any more of my shrieking, literal shrieking about Marcus Peters, I host a show called Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City. Take a drink, Rudy. From 4 to 6 p.m. every day on ESPN Kansas City. Rudy just told me in my headset that there's nothing even in his cup anymore. It's just empty now. He is now emptied the Styrofoam cup because
the
I keep
tears of
myself.
The Marcus Peters haters. That's all it is now.
You can also find the podcast. Just search Almost Entirely Sports wherever you do that. If you want to call into the show today, you can do that. 913-3810-810. The phone lines are open. And if you don't, you know, it'll also be okay. We'll do something else. We got half an hour to fill with a lot of things going on. We'll be okay. But if you want to, phone lines are open. And Matt took us up on that offer. Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing well, Mr. Briscoe with no E.
Yes! Thank you! I appreciate it.
So thanks for taking my call. I wanted a conversation about Peters based on a tweet that Sorin put up last night. And, you know, I've been on Marcus Peters for his lack of effort since the Washington game.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been no tackling, always going for the strip, getting burned for those two touchdowns in Washington. And last night I was sitting there with my wife watching the game, and a kind of a turning point when Sorensen and Peters went up in the end zone and defending that ball. They both went up. Either one of them could have had the pick, but yep. They knocked it away from each other. And after that play, Marcus Peters helped Sorensen up, gave him a headbutt, said, hey, we got this, you know, good job. That is, and I give him his props for that.
Yeah.
That is the great thing about the discipline is I believe it worked. I hope it worked. I know he's still a wild card. I know he's still very passionate and can go the wrong way at any time. But we got to, as a fan base, give our players the accolades when they deserve it.
Yep.
And be able to call them out when they don't.
Absolutely.
Sorin put it out there very eloquently last night. And, you know, if he's back and he is what he is last night, the rest of the season, I'm ecstatic for that.
Yes,
me too.
But
we've got to keep it under control. Kelsey the same way.
Yep.
We're not picking out just Marcus Peters. Kelsey mm-hmm. can hurt us just as bad, if not worse. We've got to keep these guys reined in and let them do their thing.
Yes. Oh, and so what you just – the phrase you just said there, Matt, is kind of, I think, the summary of it, because what that's a contradiction in a way. Say you got to keep them reined in and let them do their thing. Finding that sweet spot is really difficult. And it seems like
– it's a happy medium. And with young players like this, it is the coaching responsibility to keep them balanced.
Yes. Agreed. And it seems like Travis Kelce, right, at least right now, is in that sweet spot where I feel like he has all the cameras end up going over to him in the locker room after the game. He didn't do much yesterday, but the cameras go over to him, and I think he likes that. And I think that's something that he enjoys. And he also hasn't, like, you know, gotten any on-field hijinks for a while now. So I feel like he's in that happy medium. It seems like maybe Marcus Peters is trending that way also. The other thing that is that, so that play wherever Peters and Sorensen went up for that pick in the end zone, somebody in the press box mentioned that also yesterday, and you're right on. It was interesting because it seemed like Peters was his first instinct was frustration. Because that should have been what would have been his ultimately given him three interceptions on the day. But you're right. He went from a kind of a frustrated posture to kind of just like grabbing Sorensen on the side of the helmet, headbutting him and saying something, and then, you know, smack him on the helmet and you go back and go through the next play. And that is that, because I will agree with that. So go ahead.
Do you think that would have happened 3-4 weeks ago?
I don't know. But I'm certainly glad to see it now, and seeing it now makes you ask that question, which I think is fair. The other thing from yesterday is Peters was literally dancing on the field in TV timeouts and was pumping up the crowd constantly. He was not playing yesterday, was not playing last night as a cyborg with no emotions, but he also wasn't playing as someone out of control. And I hope that I hope he enjoyed playing the game like that, because that version of Marcus Peters can be an all-pro for a decade, and I hope he's in Kansas City for every minute of that.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking my call, man. Have a good weekend.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I guess we start saying happy holidays, Merry Christmas, everything. Now we're pretty close. Is that fair? All right. Happy holidays.
It's
Merry
like
Christmas.
Next weekend, right?
Yeah, sure. Tommy Moe, I see on the call screener thing that Rudy has written down wrong last name. What have I done?
It's not a wrong last name, but no E. That's just wrong. That's just
I didn't
outright
pick it.
Wrong.
I didn't pick it.
Yeah, I mean, hold on. Did your mom and dad, were they immigrants? Did they come over in a boat and their last name was Briscoe-Niski or something, and they just chopped off the last half?
No, you know how I can explain it, Tommy Moe? I know that my dad's side of the family came from Arkansas, and so like they're pretty fast and loose with the grammar rules down there. So I'm guessing that that's where the mix up came.
They're from Arkansas. Do they have a jalopy in the backyard and appliances on the front porch?
I think I missed that generation by about one.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure that there are some great grandparents of mine who definitely had appliances on the front porch.
It's just still wrong. Okay.
Oh, see, I disagree. Now, this is obviously my conditioning, but I feel like just having a name end with an O like that, I feel like it's a nice kind of aesthetic curveball.
Is there like is there an asterisk above the O or
ooh, that'd be cool.
Those little squiggly lines or anything like that? Do you have that?
No, I might add one though. I might
legally
change
one of those,
my name.
You know, slash marks above the O that would kind of distinguish you amongst the media.
I like that. I like getting the slash through the O. That's a pretty that's a pretty baller move.
Well, that's kind of been your career, the slash through the O.
That's good. I like that.
So, yeah, it was very observant for Sorin to notice that about Marcus Peters. You know, after 7 or 8 Coronas that he usually drinks, I'm shocked that he's that observant, aren't you?
Listen, I'm sure that he has developed an incredible skill to just pound the Coronas while also picking out the things that the rest of us normies don't see on a daily basis.
Most definitely. But wouldn't you love for the Chiefs to win next week and then, you know, the following week, what we'll dub the following week?
Mahomes on the range.
There you go, baby. Mahomes all week, all night. Your show from 4 to 6 will be jam-packed.
Oh,
with
man.
People wanting to talk about Patrick Mahomes.
I am going to have to ask if I can just, like, take over that night, that Saturday night, if I can just do maybe, like, a 6 a.m. to midnight. Let's start me at midnight, like a midnight to 6 a.m. stint, where I will just do 6 hours of getting ready for the future. Here's the problem with that, is what if it goes poorly? Like, against the Broncos... That feels like it could backfire. I want to see it, but I'm scared.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way the Chiefs are going to lose against Cutler next week. I mean, does he know there's no smoking on the field?
Oh man, I wish. Okay, so Rudy pointed this out earlier on a similar note. There was a Kentucky basketball player who played last night. Was it Rudy? Who played last night in sunglasses. If you can play a college basketball game in sunglasses, you should be able to smoke a cigarette while playing quarterback.
Yeah. Well, hey, Ray Charles played the piano with sunglasses.
This is a great point. I think that's exactly the same thing.
No, not exactly. Ray Charles, a great artist, Kentucky basketball player, not so great.
Rudy just...
He led the team in scoring with sunglasses on.
It's a pretty cool move, though.
For him, no. For you, yes.
Fair. I'm doing this show in sunglasses today, so I hesitated to mention that until just now, but I appreciate the signing off on it.
All right, just sunglasses, yes, is not a thong, okay, guys? Let's keep it above board, okay?
I gotta go change, Rudy. Should we take a commercial break, or I didn't know that was a rule until just now, and now I feel silly. Okay, thanks for letting me know, Timo. I wish you would have called me with that before I would have left the house this morning.
Okay, just add an E and we'll all be happy. Just add an E.
Ooh, is there an E?
An E or a slash. An E or a slash. Just not a plain old O.
Last ruling. Is Mo, M-O or M-O-E?
It's M-O-E, okay?
Rudy typed M-O.
Well, okay. Well, Rudy, where do you go to school?
Kentucky.
Yeah, thank you.
There it is. All right, good to hear from you, Tommy Moe.
All right, guys, have a great one.
M-O-E. All right, fine. At least he's consistent with his, like, arbitrary naming rules. Let's talk to Storyteller. Storyteller, you're on 810. What's up?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I was going to ask you a question about if Mahomes is going to play after, but you've already answered that.
I hope he does, man. I sure hope he does.
And as far as Peters,
mm-hmm.
with all the missed tackles, he still got pretty decent stats and having
yeah.
two interceptions and a forced fumble right before the Pro Bowl comes out. You
yes.
know, we may see him on that team.
Yes, we should. One thing that didn't get a whole lot of conversation is the big Pro Bowl voting campaign started whenever Marcus Peters was suspended. So the Chiefs' Twitter account tweeted out every eligible player on each side of the ball minus Marcus Peters. So he is actually at a little bit of a disadvantage currently because the Chiefs' Twitter left him off of their kind of like opening ballot. He's on the ballot, but he wasn't getting that initial bump. So I sure think he should be a Pro Bowler and possibly an All-Pro as well, 100%.
Yeah, five interceptions in there. There's really no one who's had a great year out there.
Yeah.
You know, Harrison Tlaib, I don't know, rotten team.
You get Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville has been great. But, yeah, I mean, he is certainly in that class. That's the thing that is sort of bizarre to me is it seems like people have forgotten what it means to be that good of an NFL cornerback, and Peters is absolutely in that class.
A question about Ramique Wilson.
Yeah.
When they benched him, they really struggled at the middle. But Ragland's really come on strong,
yes.
So what's his Wilson's status?
He was healthy and active last night. I think that there's a chance that he's on this team next year, though, which would be pretty strange because I think he's only been active for a handful of games this year. But I don't expect Derek Johnson to be on this team next year, which is, you know, kind of a sad reality, but it's the expectation right now. So having Ramique Wilson be brought back in this defense, to have Wilson and Reggie Ragland side by side along with Kevin Pierre-Louis, that's a pretty decent core of young inside linebackers. So I don't expect him to have much of a role as long as Derek Johnson's on this team, but to have him step in whenever Derek Johnson is let go at the end of the season, I think that's pretty likely.
Did you see Travis in the Thursday night game? He actually caught some passes if he was able to catch passes. He would still be on the Chiefs.
Right, yes, no kidding. Orson Charles, though, had a couple of nice plays. He saved that fumble that was off of Daniel Sorensen's back. He had a catch of his own. So, yeah, the third tight end, Ferris wheel, I think will not a Ferris wheel, carousel. Dang it. I think we'll slow down here for Orson Charles, I hope.
And, you know, after the first game Bedecker played, he's been able to pretty much kick it right through the middle. Is that
yeah.
true coaching?
Sorry, what was the question?
Is that just good coaching who been able to make it do that?
He's obviously an incredibly talented kicker. He has a huge leg. Even I actually thought he made, from where I was watching, I thought he made that 52-yarder that he actually missed because he hit it halfway up the net from 52 out. So he's got a huge leg, and I'm guessing that Dave Tobe, as good of a special teams coach as he is, has been able to help refine him anywhere he may have needed refining. So, yeah, a real find in Butker for sure.
Oh, and I saw your video on Phantom. It's pretty good.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Storyteller. We worked hard on those, so I appreciate it. Always good to hear from you.
Okay.
Covered a lot there. A lot of ground. I was going to go see if there's anything to go back to, but I feel like we pretty much got it. What have we not
show's
covered
over.
Last night?
We're
yeah,
done.
Show's over. I mean, just play like... Well, actually, we are almost...
Just bump music
we are
for
almost out of show,
16
though.
Minutes.
Well... We have the commercials, and we'll be back, and I cannot have much time left. We don't have a lot going on. Sorry to put you on the spot like this, Rudy, but what's the schedule of games down here today? I'm pretty sure we've got Patriots-Steelers at 3:30.
I believe Packers, who are the
Packers?
That's the noon game.
Yes, yes,
and then
yes,
Sunday night, which is Raiders-Cowboys, maybe?
That feels right.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
But, yeah, so coming up at noon here, we'll go over to ESPN at 11, and coming up at noon will be Packers-Panthers in the return of Aaron Rodgers, which is very exciting because the world is better with Aaron Rodgers playing football in it. I understand that that's not my team. I will always root for Aaron Rodgers because I like that he exists in this world. All right, we're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll have a last call for calls, 913-310-810. If you don't call in, we'll talk about something else. Sports Sunday.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
Everybody should be happy except for Sorin.
Right.
Sorin should be petrified because there's something coming.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I don't remember what that was about, but I do remember that I wish I would have said Sorin should be petrified. That's the pun that I've regretted not being able to make for so long now. I have no idea why I indicated that Sorin should be shaking in his boots.
Maybe he was out of Coronas.
I did not start that bit. I don't want to walk out to my car later and just see Sorin out there with like a metal pipe and three friends.
Look who's petrified now.
Oh, no! Oh, man, that would be so good. I would give him my kneecaps after that. Like, oh, man, that was such a good pun. Here, have a kneecap. Just pick one. Just pop it out. Speaking of horrifying physical ailments, listen to these two tweets by Chris Mortensen and tell me if you shriek in terror. When Andrew Luck returns from his European treatment soon, he'll resume a throwing regimen that will ultimately determine whether he needs corrective surgery to his biceps tendon. Luck reportedly is feeling very optimistic, but if pain returns when he resumes throwing, a procedure known as tendosis, guessing on that one, will be under strong consideration. Medical experts say it is a 3 to 6 month recovery, so a decision would ideally be made by mid-January, sources said. Someone has got to take Andrew Luck away from the Colts. Ideally an NFC team. Like I just told you, like I am glad that Aaron Rodgers is back this week because I want to watch him play football. I would also like to watch Andrew Luck play football. Not against the Chiefs or against the Chiefs in the playoffs. Ideally, not even in the AFC. But like the Cardinals should just offer the Colts a first-round pick and just say, listen, you keep Jacoby Brissett and then you go find another quarterback to ruin. We'll take the risk on the injury here. Because we have competent doctors and a patient management staff, we'll make this one work. Let's go ahead and take Andrew Luck out of your hands. Someone has to. What a waste. Ugh. I can't even imagine being a Colts fan. Although Matt Nagy is going to be their head coach next year, so that's something for them to look forward to, I suppose. Let's go back to the phones. Ryan, you're on Sports Sunday. How are you doing?
Josh, dude, awesome. Great game last night. I'm just excited for Saturday Night Football.
Yeah.
I talked to old man Frank.
Yes.
And Danny last night. And also, I do not want Andrew Luck. I do not want that old man. Sorry. He was a talent. I don't want somebody's backup, dude. I mean, go ahead and keep him. You know what I mean? So,
I don't want Andrew Luck. Someone should want Andrew Luck.
And he hurt me really bad, you know, in the playoffs.
No, yeah, no, for sure. No. Listen, the Chiefs have young Aaron Rodgers on their bench currently.
Oh, I'll take him. I'll take Aaron Rodgers.
No, we've got Mahomes. The future is bright. But someone should want Andrew Luck. Ideally, an NFC team.
I tell you what, last night. Gained a lot more respect. I've regained some respect for the Chiefs this year.
Yeah, me too.
And I know I'm just a fan. You know, I'm biased, you know, because of everything that's happened when the team was acting, you know, earlier in the year. Marcus Peters not, you know, not tackling.
Mm-hmm.
Last night they had fire.
Yeah.
It's good to see. It's just, I guess it's a second win, the second life. We got to get behind this team. Yeah, I want Mahomes to start. That's why I wanted him to start maybe 2 games ago, but he's not going to. So I'm going with this team. Let's go get this game. And, you know, let's go. Like I was telling Danny last night, the Chiefs or the Royals were not a team that I thought was going to win the World Series, and they ended up doing it.
Yep.
They ended up going back to back, and that's what makes half the ride half the fun. So let's go Chiefs, baby. And Merry Christmas, Josh.
All right? Merry Christmas to you also. I appreciate it, Ryan. Thanks for calling in. No, I'm with you. Like, this is a little bit more, I don't know, kind of atmospheric, kind of more existential than I usually want to go to. But I agree, like, there was something different last night. Like, because it felt like a playoff game. I think the players realized that, and the players felt like it. I imagine it's really hard to be in a locker room on a 1-6 losing streak. I think there really was a huge sense of urgency in these last two games. They just went, listen, all right, like, we're either going to win this game and get back on track, or we're going to lose, and the season's over. And they came out with a great, not great performances against the Raiders, but with a very, 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 very good defensive performance and a fine offensive performance. Last night, Kareem Hunt was the center of their offensive scheme, which was stupendous. Marcus Peters and the defensive line, Chris Jones, was stupendous. I feel like now that locker room feels like a playoff team again. I don't know if there was self-doubt in there during the losing streak. I had doubt during the losing streak. I would have been doubting myself if I was on that team. I was doubting that team from afar. These last two games were literally must-haves. And, yeah, it feels like... I can't say it feels like we're all the way back to week five, but it does feel like we're close to that. You know, now there still was, obviously, this team lost to the Bills and to the Jets and to the Giants. That's going to come up in the playoffs. But we're talking about the playoffs again instead of talking about, you know, Tano Passanio's 15 snaps and how he's going to develop, you know, for the next 3 years. Last night felt different, and it could not have come at a better time. It was a playoff game at Arrowhead last night, and the Chiefs capitalized. That's all you can ask for. All right, I won't be on these airwaves again for a while, I'm assuming, but I will be on ESPN Kansas City for a total of 10 hours this next week. So come over there. It's 1510 AM and 99.3 FM from 4 to 6 p.m. every weekday. It's called Almost Entirely Sports. You can also get the podcast. We're going to do a whole bunch of Chiefs talk if that's something that you're interested. Everybody drink up. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your football Sunday. Bye, Mom.